Thank you for joining us for Your Marketing Copilot, which is a production of ABCI. ABCI specializes in cost-effective marketing systems and campaigns in the aviation industry. I'm Paula Williams, a marketing consultant with ABCI and the instructor for ABCI's Marketing Masterclass, a course designed for business owners, professionals, and entrepreneurs who would like to improve their marketing results. More information about the Marketing Masterclass is also available on our website, abci1.com. So welcome to the Marketing Copilot. Since this is our very first episode and since it's going to be airing on Valentine's Day, I thought it would be very appropriate to interview my husband, John. A lot of you have met my husband if you've worked with us for any length of time, but he is not nearly as public a member of ABCI as I am. He's not quite the social butterfly, especially online. But he is definitely the power behind the company. He has a lot of knowledge that I absolutely rely on, and almost everything that comes out of ABCI is edited by John because he's got such a great background in aviation and in business, which really helps us produce really good material. So I thought I would introduce John and let you know how that all works. I know some people are curious about how it is to work with a spouse and all that, and I can tell you that I really enjoy it, but we'll find out how John feels in a minute. So a little bit about John. Besides being the chairman of Aviation Business Consultants International, Inc., he also does a lot of consulting projects for defense, aviation, information technology, information assurance, and other types of projects. He was activated United States Army Reserve at Fort Hood a couple of years ago. And prior to that, he worked for Syntel, opened an office for them in Europe. And prior to that, Computer Task Group. John has an MBA in International Business from the David Eccles School of Business at the University of Utah, and had a really great time there, learning a lot of things about business. So, welcome, John.
Hello.
And thanks for joining us and humoring me with a social appearance. I know you don't do these very often. First of all, do you want to tell the story about how we met? That's kind of a cool story to start with.
Well, back in the day, we worked for competing consulting firms at the same client. And as it happened, we were asked to work on the same project together. And we did that. And as it ended up, because of our perceived animosity toward each other, which was actually a constructive discussion that was quite assertive on both sides, they ended up getting the best possible outcome that they could. But in fact, we were told that any project that we worked on together, they got more than their money's worth, which considering what they were paying for each of us is quite something to say.
Constructive animosity, that's a really good term.
Well, it's a fact.
That's true. I've not heard that term before. That's a good one. But it's true that we were perceived to be in disagreement on a lot of topics, and we were in disagreement on a lot of topics. But in fact, we had some very animated discussions in that and other projects.
So animated.
Animated. One of our first projects together was actually a website, which is kind of interesting because now we're doing a lot of websites when we do marketing projects. But you want to tell the story about that first website?
Sure. We were asked to do a pilot project for Citrix and dial-up, which tells you how long ago it was, and an intranet site for the client. And I think there were five of us, me and five others, working on the project, of which you were one. And nobody else had any idea how to put a website together. And the day before, Miss Paula had just shown me what she could do on a website with this Raven that she'd brought up. So I said, well, you're it. You're going to do the website. And She did. She did an outstanding job with it.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. That must have been in the 90s.
Yeah, I think that was 96.
Wow. Yeah, and that Raven actually was for a company called RavenWorks, which was the predecessor to ABCI. It was a company that I started in the 90s. You know, none of us really knew what we were going to be doing with the internet. I just saw that it had some possibilities for marketing and was publishing some materials that we were working on and for school projects. That ended up turning into quite a large website as well. But anyway, that was a fun time. A lot of people thought we didn't get along because we were so different. I know you know, differences are sometimes good when you're working on the same project together. One of the reasons I asked John to edit pretty much everything that goes out of the ABCI office is because he catches a lot of things that I don't, because we think in really different ways, and everybody needs a good editor.
Usually you've written something, and when you go back and read it again, you see what you thought you wrote. And there are many, many examples of that. I can't think of one right now, however.
I know, but there's a lot of times when you write something and you think it looks perfect. And even if you leave it overnight and come back to it, you know, you just don't see what's wrong with it. But that's interesting. Another thing that makes John a really great editor is that he has a really extensive background in aviation, which we have a lot of clients who are aviation related and in a lot of technical subjects. So he keeps things very accurate with marketing materials. There's kind of a natural tension sometimes between marketing people and technical people or product people for two reasons. One, because it's always necessary to simplify when you're writing some marketing materials. If you're producing a postcard, you can't just miniaturize a technical brief in four point font and you know, stick a postage stamp on it and send it out. You have to be very selective about what information you can include when you're purchasing space or sending direct mail. So that's one thing. And the other thing is that there's a motivation for marketing people to exaggerate.
Yeah, and it drives me crazy when that happens. I spent a lot of time in information technology over the years, and there was always some director, manager, or whatever coming into the tech department saying, hey, this is a great product. Here, go make it work. And he was sold by marketing people from different and sundry organizations, and then gave it to us to make it work. And anybody out there in information technology listening to this knows exactly what I'm talking about. Because sometimes it's just no way, and the guy is so convinced it'll do that, just make it work. And really it won't, because the marketing folks said, yes, it will, when in fact they didn't know that it wouldn't.
Right, or else they made it sound like it would work, when in the fine print it says that it doesn't. So it's really important to us, especially since a lot of our target markets are people like John, you know, who grew up in that kind of a situation or came up through business in that kind of a situation and have a very highly developed BS meter is the way we like to call it. So you're more likely to try a product and to recommend it to others if the marketing materials are not so over the top. Is that right?
Yes, I actually prefer that marketing people under-promise and over-deliver. As an example, we just replaced an old laser printer with a new Dell, and then we had the owner order some toner from Dell. And they indicated it would be here within 2 to 5 business days, and we said, okay, fine. And it arrived the next day at 10:30. And here I am talking about it. I understand that's free advertising for Dell, and it wouldn't have happened if their marketing materials promised more than the company could deliver.
Right, and neither of us are getting paid by Dell for that comment, by the way. But yeah, I mean, I think people naturally recommend products when they find out, wow, this works better than I thought it would. And so, you know, a lot of our marketing systems kind of concentrate on that back end where, you know, we work on making it really easy for people to refer our products to other folks and get testimonials rather than over-promising on the front end and, you know, trying to do the short-term overkill marketing. Another thing that's really cool about John's background is that he's done a lot of things. He's had a lot of different jobs. He's fixed TVs. He's flown helicopters in a medevac sort of a situation. He's managed departments and companies. He started companies from scratch. In fact, you had four different majors in college. Is that right?
Yes, I decided I wanted to be an electrical engineer to start with. And the next summer I worked beside one and I realized I didn't need a degree to do that. And then it progressed from there to chemical engineering until I got to organic chemistry and couldn't figure that out. And then I was always interested in physics. And then I realized later that you had to have a PhD in physics to do any good. And so I, well, okay, let's go with math. And one thing led to another, and so finally I got to the point where I said, whatever it takes to get out of here quick, I'm sure a lot of you folks been there.
So just get me out of here.
So
you ended up in a business major?
Yes, that was all undergrad, and obviously I got went to business school and got a graduate degree doing that.
Right. So you really like the University of Utah?
Absolutely. Particularly the exec program up there.
Right. So what was so cool about that program?
They have a different approach to teaching from one that I had ever seen anywhere else in the education system. And it takes a very special type of professor to actually walk into a room full of C-level people and guide a conversation so that they get involved and learn things.
Great. That's fantastic. I think, you know, one of the things that is a combination between education and marketing is that you have to teach somebody about a product before you can sell it. And, you know, so I think both of us have really enjoyed school. And that's one of the things that I think really helps our background is because we really enjoy learning about things. And you have to really learn about things before you can sell them. All right. So another cool thing that's great about John is that he knows a lot about aviation. It's great to have someone who knows whether you need a type rating for a Cicada or if a G1000 is available for a King Air. So how did you get involved with aviation, John, and what's been your experience with that?
Well, I've been involved with aviation since I was 8 or 9 years old when I flew my first airplane. And that's a quick and dirty story, but Frontier Airlines was putting in service to Glendive, Montana. They had dollar ride days, and I got a ride with my dad and ended up sitting on the captain's lap, and he let me drive that airplane around the sky for about 10 minutes. And then that progressed. I got my private when I was my student license when I was 16, my private when I was 17, and then I went to the military and I ended up with commercial and instrument ratings in helicopters, rotary wing, and fixed wing. Flew some Part 135 charter for a while, and one thing led to another, and here we are.
Wow. Yeah, and then you got me into it.
True. I got your private license, and you have airplane, a 172 that you fly.
Right. Yeah, not exactly the helicopters that you fly, but I like the 172. It's a lot of fun. So the one thing is you didn't teach me to fly.
No.
You also didn't teach me to scuba dive or anything else. You always insisted that we get another teacher.
Exactly.
And why is that?
Married.
You want to stay married.
Because I want to stay married.
That's funny. So we can work together. We just have to be in a somewhat equal situation when we do it. You know, when one of us is teaching the other, then I know we've learned a lot from each other. But when it comes to those formal subjects, it's sometimes best if we get a somebody else to do the teaching. Anyway, one of the really cool things about working together is that we get to travel together a lot.
Yep. And you've been on business trips with me to some DoD events, and I've been on business trips to you with aviation events, NBAA, and other things like that.
Right. And we also have a lot of mutual friends that that help a lot with our knowledge of the field and, you know, our interest in the field and things like that. Another really cool thing that John does for ABCI is he is the perfect skeptical customer. He fits the demographic of a decision maker in the aviation industry to a T. You know, that demographic is mostly male, over 40, very skeptical of media, and you know, has an advanced degree and often a military background as well, and he's got all of those things. So as the perfect aviation decision maker type profile, what are some of the things that are turnoffs to you as a decision maker when you see marketing for aviation stuff?
Well, marketing people use the words always and never and things like that, and nothing fits that. I mean, there's always things that work and things that don't, and they're never straightforward about it, and they never tell you about the fine print. Rather than listing the things up front and saying that it will do this, 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 and this, and then it doesn't do these other things, they tell you it does everything and let you discover what it doesn't do. And if you don't do your homework, you can end up being taken for a lot of dollars in this industry.
Yeah. But this is the saying that, you know, the best way to become a millionaire in aviation is to start out as a billionaire.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's due in part to a lot of things, which marketing is one of.
Right. So what kind of marketing does work for you?
Well, I like accurate, understated elegance when it's appropriate, factual approach, and probably low-key, not in your face. I don't need the used car salesman kind of guy.
Right. So which channels do you prefer? Do you prefer print or online? Or?
Well, that's interesting. I mean, Trade Plane's been around since I knew about airplanes, and whenever you're waiting at an airport, I sure like to pick up one of those and read it. If nothing else, to dream. And I also enjoy Controller Magazine and a few of the other ones. But Trade Plane's online now, as is Controller, and everything is going that way. I'm not at all sure how much longer print's going to really be effective.
Right. So do you feel that a company is more credible if they do at least some paper advertising or paper marketing?
That's a tough question.
Yeah, like a direct mail catalog or a magazine or something like that.
I don't know. The only one I can think of, really, the only two are the ones I've already mentioned. As far as paper and anything else, it's probably I'm pretty much a waste of time.
So, yeah, but if you get a postcard, would you go to a website to find out more about a particular company or something like that? Or is it better for someone to send you an email to get you to a website, as an example?
Well, I don't know about a website, but I bought my first airplane because some folks sent me a postcard, and they sent it to me 4 or 5 times before I actually got to the point where I decided to go buy.
You know, that's an interesting point. The studies show that it takes 7 to 9 and sometimes even more contacts with a potential customer before that person will take an action. And why does that happen, Mr. Customer?
Well, with respect to me in that particular instance, the first postcard looked at and said, yeah, right, that's candid. And then a while later, we got another one. And I looked at that and said, I think I'll call these guys. And I misplaced it, and it went out of my mind. And the third one, I tried to get a hold of people, and somehow or another didn't make it. And the fourth one, I called, and we talked a little bit. And the fifth or sixth one, finally, something clicked, and I decided to go ahead and buy a new 172.
Okay. So over time, with that multiple set of contacts, it became more credible, and also it kind of hit you at the right time as far as opportunity, meeting time, meeting circumstance, and so on.
Well, yeah, and I think at least two of those postcards got misplaced for one reason or another between our travels and other things. And
me cleaning the house, right?
Very likely.
Right. Well, I understand that, and that's an interesting thing. But I know that you and I differ quite a bit, and this is probably the subject that we differ the most on as far as marketing goes. You do not like social media as much as I do. So why is that?
Many reasons, not the least of which is privacy. I, quite frankly, am not convinced. I've been in IT too many years, and I have been contracted to break into particular computers, and I know how all that works, and I am just not sure that the privacy is where it needs to be in any of the online social media. I mean, I have an account with LinkedIn, and even that, we had an individual decide on their own that they were the president of my company and put it in there, and it took us probably 3 to 6 weeks to get that removed.
That's true. That was an interesting episode, and another reason why you need to be watching the social media, even if you're not actively participating in the conversation. And social media, I mean, it's definitely misused, and people often forget that they are speaking in public. I know there are some functions of social media that give you an illusion of privacy that just isn't real. You know, people can set up their settings so that they information looks like it's just being shared between friends. But, you know, I think anything that you'd be willing to say in public, you know, in the middle of Times Square, you know, of course you don't want to put your computer IDs or anything else on there. And you don't want to put anything that's terribly private, but it's just a communication tool the same as any other, and it can be used effectively.
True, but I'm still not going there. I mean, I suspect that companies have to at least watch what's going on, because if you're dealing with the public, and in general, if you have a company, you're dealing with the public. You need to know what's going on and what they're saying about your company.
Right. You're much better off if you know what they're saying than if you just bury your head in the sand and assume that you're not being talked about. There was a case study a couple of years ago. United Airlines broke a guitar that belonged to a country singer. And, you know, after not getting a satisfactory response from their customer service department, he wrote a song and put it on YouTube and, you know, tweeted about it on Twitter. People were talking about it on all the social media networks. And since United was not on the social media networks, they didn't know about it for, I don't remember if it was weeks or months, after the fact. So, you know, they looked much less responsive than they could have been, you know, had they known that, you know, this song is getting a million hits on YouTube, and, you know, maybe they should respond to this guy. And as it turned out, you know, it ended up being a pretty good lesson, I think, to United and to the gentleman that wrote the song, because he's a much bigger country star now than he was when he started. And the other side of that is, I think a lot of the bigger companies now realize that they need to at least be watching social media, even if they aren't actively participating. But I know there's one social media channel that you do like. Which one is that?
LinkedIn, but you're going to have to skip this question because I already talked about it.
Okay, that's cool. All right, so you are one of the first students in the Marketing Masterclass that we're offering. So what did you think of the Facebook session?
Well, I may not like Facebook, and I maybe have privacy concerns, but looks like it might be good for marketing research. And I probably would hire somebody as part of their additional duties would be to monitor and manage that and be able to talk about it.
Right. So you need to know enough about it to intelligently manage a person who is representing your company. If you have a Facebook profile or a professional Facebook profile, or if your company is represented.
True.
Okay. What would you say to somebody that says that they are not technical enough to understand all this online marketing stuff?
Anybody in this day and age who says they're, quote, not technical needs to get a life, or they got to get out of whatever business they're in, because this is a technological age, and whether you like it or not, it's all about technology.
Wow, this is coming from the man who doesn't like Facebook.
But Facebook is just one piece of it.
Right. Right, exactly. What would you recommend to someone who maybe is not all that comfortable with technology? What would a first step be?
Well, the only place I've ever found that could teach it at a high enough level so it's understandable by most people would be what you're doing in marketing, because I don't know of anybody else out there that's doing that. So I'd recommend you and ABCI.
Wow, cool. And I know you were never a big fan of marketing before you met me. You're probably not a big fan of marketing now, but we seem to get along okay. But what would you say to business owners who think that they don't need to market their products or services?
Well, it's not about whether I like or dislike marketing. Marketing is a fact of life. I mean, every individual is a salesperson, no matter what they're trying to do. They're trying to convince somebody of something. And marketing is just a step up above that and more strategic. So it has to happen. It just needs to be more ethical, which is why I like what you do.
Wow. Great. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you taking the time to make a public appearance. I know this doesn't happen very often, but we'll have to have you on again about particular topics, because I know you have a lot of great information. Thank you, John.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Your Marketing Copilot is a production of Aviation Business Consultants International. Please visit our blog for more great discussions on marketing at www.abci1.com. You can read my opinions on marketing and aviation topics on the Forbes Business Aviation blog Wheels Up at blogs.forbes.com/wheelsup. You can also find Aviation Business Consultants on Facebook and Twitter. We have a free book titled Aviation Marketing, Cost-Effective Strategies and Tools, which is available at www.abci1.com/freebook. Thank you for joining us for the Marketing Copilot. If you have any questions or comments on today's show or any suggestions for future shows, please feel free to leave them on our blog or email paula@abci1.com, and we look forward to seeing you next week.